Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Houston, standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. It is a Wednesday edition of the show. Lots to get to today. People are starting to read body language when it comes to CJ Stroud. It's a dangerous place to be, reading body language. We'll catch them or trash, and we got a mailbag to get to. But when we begin with the Houston Rockets and the Oklahoma City Thunder, first game of the year. Boy, was it a thriller. That was a long basketball game.
It was.
It took forever.
It was a great game, though.
It was a great game. It's hard to imagine there's going to be a better game, entertaining game, that the Rockets play the rest of the year. Like, there's a really good chance they don't have another double overtime game the rest of the season.
Yeah. That might be the only one.
Could be.
Like, if anything, I would almost bet there'd be more overtimes than two again. Like, go like a three or four overtime game, then it'd be exactly two.
That's going to be tough to do. But, yeah, it was a fun game. I actually was pretty positive after the game. Like, I know you lost, and you don't want to lose games, and there's a lot to nitpick, and certainly we're going to nitpick. That's what we do best. But I was positive after the game. Alpi Şengün, like, start there. Like, he looked like an elite offensive player.
Yeah.
He looks like, I mean, what Ryan Holland said, like, he's the, you know, the best player in the world. They were saying that in the offseason whenever he was playing in the Euros. I mean, he looked phenomenal yesterday.
He was like, dominant.
That was my top positive, is that Alpi Şengün looks like he, and look, it's one game, one of 82. He's got to do it, of course, for most of the season before having these conversations seriously. But the Alpi Şengün that showed up yesterday, and look, good shooting game, but 5 from 8 from three. Like, it's not like he was 7 of 8. He was 12 of 24 from the floor. It's not like he hit 80% of his shots. Now, 10 of 11 from the free throw line is pretty significant for Alpi Şengün. But it's not like he lit the world on fire from a shooting perspective, and he still dropped 39 points with 11 boards and 7 assists. That Alpi Şengün that was on the floor yesterday is one of the best players in basketball.
Yeah, I mean, the 5 of 8, I'll take that every day. You're shooting like that from the three-point line, the confidence he had back there. It looked that even that just looks different. Just
no doubt.
The willingness just to take them, the jump shot just looks better in one game. Like, he was phenomenal last night. Like, the only thing I want for him is to go to the paint with a little more control. Like, he falls hard, man. Like, when he's going up, especially that charge late in the game,
yeah,
he falls hard down to the floor. So, like,
so you're looking at it from like an injury perspective?
Yeah, like protect yourself a little bit, but he was everything you could ask for and more. And like, he's going to be better than 50% from the field a lot of times this season. So to drop 39 in that first game, like, yeah, I didn't want to put any credit to what we saw in the Eurobasket stuff this season. I didn't watch any upsets of highlights. I didn't want to believe it,
casual.
But the way that you didn't watch it. The way that he played in last night's game was really impressive. He already was like, okay, this is a different level of a player. And it's where you can see with, like, having Durant out there and having Jabari out there, like, it can open things up for him offensively. It was very impressive.
Career high in three-pointers made. Yeah, that was an elite offensive performance from Alpi Şengün. So that's the first positive that I have there, is that, no, don't, by the way, don't tick off the let's call them Alpi only fans. We'll go with that so we don't get in trouble. The Alpi only fans.
They're scary.
I was – because, like, if I have one nitpick on Alpi yesterday – it was really like a first half thing. It wasn't a full game thing, but whenever I tweeted it, it was in real time. Like, he had a series of, like, I think it was over the course of 4 possessions where he, like, made a terrible pass, like, led to an easy fast break the other way. And then a few possessions later, he set an illegal screen. And look, I'm a stickler when it comes to this sort of thing. I don't like turnovers. Like, you have a good offensive team. Alpe's going to be a good offensive player. Kevin Durant's a good offensive player. Min can get to the rim. He's good from inside at 12 feet. Jabari can shoot it a little bit. Don't turn it over. Mm-hmm. Miss a shot before you turn it over. Take a bad shot before you turn it over. I hate turnovers. So I am very critical of turnovers. And, oh, yeah, by the way, this game went to double overtime. It was a one-point game, maybe two or three fewer turnovers, and maybe you win this game in regulation. So I do hate turnovers. But whenever I was critical of Alpe Şengün's turnovers and that
they
little
came after you.
They came after me.
Yeah, they're scary,
they
man.
Were, they came after me. I was in. We're calling them Alpe-only fans because if we say other things, we might end up like John and Lance and, like, go viral on the internet. They're Alpe-only fans. Not what John and Lance said. They're Alpe-only fans. They came after me a little bit for a very, very minute criticism that was accurate.
Yeah, I mean, there's another word that starts with the letter S I might use for them. Soft.
Oh,
I thought you were going to say sickos.
The way that you whispered it, though, it's like...
They're soft.
I thought you were going to say something way worse.
No, they're soft. They freak out over everything. Like, you're critical about the littlest Alpe thing, and they act like you're calling them the worst player on the planet Earth.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah. Like, whenever I said that about, like, he turns it over a little bit more than I care for, like, they started sending me, like, his career plus minuses.
I know.
Dude, I don't care about his career plus minuses. I'm saying over this minute and a half stretch, he turned it over twice, and I don't like it.
Well, think about the way they went after Vanessa.
Insane.
They went after Vanessa last year.
I don't remember that one.
She was asking, like, normal questions, and it was just like, we have to do better, get better questions for Alpe at halftime or in a post game.
They're insane.
It's just bizarre.
These Alpe only, and that's what we're calling them, Alpe only fans. They are nuts. But Alpe overall was very, very good. Very, very good a night for Alpe Şengün. Makes you bullish about where he could be this year and just relative to the rest of the NBA. I thought Kevin Durant was mostly a positive note. I'm sure there's things we're going to nitpick, and we're going to nitpick a little bit later. But, like, hey, you have a really good scoring option at that position. You have a guy that you can go to, maybe not enough, but you can go to late in the shot clock, not necessarily yesterday, but late in the game that you feel confident about. Which, look, last year their efficiency and, like, their effective field goal percentage wasn't outstanding. But I thought Kevin Durant for a Rocket debut was – overall, a positive note.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the biggest negatives for Durant in last night's game don't even necessarily reflect him, the basketball player. It reflects the state of the roster that you're in right now and some of the other issues that you're clearly going to have until you make an acquisition at some point this season. But KD was good last night. Like, he's going to be better. But, like, compare and contrast the two guys. It's as good as Kevin Durant can be for the Rockets this year. It's impressive how, at least in one game, Alpe already looks like the best player on the team. And you have Kevin Durant on your roster. Like, as I'm watching the gameplay last time, I'm like, man, Alpe is, he's the guy. And then Kevin Durant is number two.
Do you think that's going to, like, hold true the whole season?
I hope so.
Is Alpe the Rockets' best player? That's a great, great segment, Joe. 713-780-3776.
I hope he is.
I mean, he was better yesterday. Like, there was two players on the floor yesterday. And look, SGA took a little while to wake up, but mm-hmm. there was two players on the floor yesterday that I thought were head and shoulders better than everybody else on the floor, and neither one was Kevin Durant. It was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on one side, and then it was Alpe Şengün on the other side. Mm-hmm. Now, the way SGA did it was like, hey, I'm just going to chill. I'm going to, like, just cruise through 3.5 quarters, and then I'm going to turn it on in the rest of the fourth quarter and overtime periods. It was like he had like 11 points midway through the fourth, and I was on the Shai under 34.5.
Oh, no.
He had 35.
Yeah.
He got 35 points because he was insane in the two overtime periods in the final 5 minutes.
Yeah, he showed why he was the MVP of the league last year.
He
might be the MVP again this year.
He's so smooth. Like, he's outstanding. He's really good. And then my third positive, I thought of Min Thompson inside the three-point line. I thought that was a really positive game for him. I like the aggression from a Min. I want a Min to be aggressive inside the three-point line. I didn't love the 0-for-7 from three, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But, look, I think if he doesn't get hurt, I think the Rockets win the game.
I agree with you. I definitely think they win the game if he's out there because the problems that we'll get into later in the show. He was number four for me. I know it wasn't as an efficient of night for him compared to some of the other guys, but I was really impressed with what we saw from Jabari in the game.
Huh.
Like the moves that he had, like the big three at the end, the turnaround that we saw be effective. Like he felt like to me he was in the right position most of the time. There was a couple moments in the zone where you saw Alpe kind of throw his hands up in the air in frustration because Jabari wasn't in the right position or another player. I think there's still some ways to go defensively with them operating the zone effectively. But I thought Jabari impressed me again last night too. He looks like a guy who's like, I'm like, okay, this is another one that of your starting five that you have right now, your guys are going to play the most minutes. I thought he looked good in last night's game as well. But a man, yeah, I mean, inside the paint is everything you could have asked for.
Yeah, don't love the 0-for-7-for-3. Do you mind? I'll push back on Jabari a little bit, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll save it, though.
Do you have an issue with the men taking the 7?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I think I used to have this thought with Russell Westbrook whenever he was a Rocket. He was not a good three-point shooter, right? But, like, every now and then you're going to have a hot game where you, like, you make, you know, 4-of-6, right? Like, Russell Westbrook would have a 4-for-6 3-point night every now and then. I think Amen Thompson's capable of doing that. I think he's capable of having a 4-for-6 night. But I gave Russell Westbrook a 3-3-point shot miss rule. The moment that you miss your third 3-pointer, you're not allowed to take another one again, unless it's, like, late in shot clock. You have nothing else to do. Amen Thompson needs to adapt the Russell Westbrook. You miss 3 threes, and you're done taking them the rest of the night. Because I do want him to be, like, I want to be aggressive with it, but not like 17 seconds left on the shot clock aggressive. But if they're leaving him wide open from the corner with 10 on the shot clock, take it.
Yeah, I like the corner three for a man. That's where he's made most of his in his career so far.
But then like the off the dribble three, don't need to see that. Once you've missed multiple threes, don't want to see that. So I do think that he needs, and I thought this for several Rockets yesterday, is that they kind of need to know their role and shut their mouth and do a little bit less aggressive stuff, which I'll explain that in greater detail a little bit later. What did you think of Kevin Durant guarding Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on that final possession?
I think at the end there, I mean, was it, Okogie wasn't in at the moment, I don't believe.
Well, it was just after a timeout, though, so you could have made subs.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm fine with it in the moment.
I think it was after a timeout.
Yeah, he's got the length there, like even though he's not the best defender, when you don't have Amen Thompson on the floor because of both of his legs getting iced up for cramps is what it looked like, then I think having KD in that moment is the right decision.
Disagree. And like, I don't think Kevin Durant's a bad defender. And Boudreaux had a bunch of stats, like when he was guarding specific guys, like the shooting percentage for OKC was very, very low. This isn't a criticism at all at Kevin Durant's defense. I think Kevin Durant can play good defense, and his size and athleticism gives him the ability to play good defense. But I know he had a bad game, but I think Tari Eason should have been on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander there. I think Tari Eason's a better defender than Durant. And if I have my option of which defender is better defending their best offensive player, I'm going to go with my best defender. I was shocked that it wasn't Tari.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I think KD in that moment, it's kind of one of those superstar treatments there in a way of like, that's who you want. I mean, when you're running the offense, I mean, the defense that you are, like you're not always going to get the best matchups that you want in the moment. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Like when you're running the zone, like, that's where, if that's who's there.
Well, they were man in the final possession.
Yeah, so, like, I'm fine with Kevin Durant in that moment doing it last night, and he missed the shot, right? The one you're talking about?
Well, he got fouled. No, oh, he got right, fouled. Kevin Durant right, got off right. his feet, and he right. jumped into him. Just a cheeky veteran, savvy yeah. move.
Because SGA gets a lot of foul calls.
Now, look.
He's great at drawing them.
This might be the counterpoint, is that perhaps Ime Udoka doesn't trust Tari Eason not to bite on the pump fake, because yeah. Tari Eason's known to do that. And he's like, well, I'm not going to put Tari on him, because I can't trust him not to foul.
Yeah.
And then Kevin Durant does exactly what you could have been fearful of Tari doing.
Yeah, maybe you trust the veteran in that moment to not go for the pump, even though, like you said, he did. So, I'm fine with KD doing it, because it leads to bigger questions about, like, the again, the long term of the Rockets is if a man's hurt, if a man's in foul trouble, like who's guarding the best player, the best guard on the other team with as you are constructed right now? Because that's another moment where it's like, do you think Fred guarding him in that moment?
No.
If Fred's healthy, you think it's the same situation?
I mean, if you're completely healthy and nobody's in foul trouble, it's obviously a min.
Yeah.
It's obviously a min. Last year is probably Dylan. Yeah, last year's yes. probably Dylan Brooks.
Well, that's what I thought last night. I was like, you missed Dylan. It was like one of my immediate reactions watching the game last night. I was like, you missed Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, I never had that reaction.
I felt like defensively you did.
Yeah, but I'm like, you have Kevin Durant, so it's all good.
Yes, it's a good, great counterpoint. Like, I almost wish there was a way to get Kevin Durant and keep Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah,
that'd be cool. It
wasn't obviously possible.
Like, I wonder where Dorian Finney-Smith factors in whenever he's healthy.
Good question.
Like, I think he would be in that mix there. Look, they signed Okogie. Okogie was getting significant minutes down the stretch yesterday.
Way more than I thought he was going to.
And, like, if you're trusting him with significant minutes down the stretch, maybe he's the defensive guy there that mm-hmm. you want to use in that spot. I didn't love using Kevin Durant there. How about the Kevin Durant non-timeout at the end of the first overtime? I mean, they got away with that.
Yeah,
that should have absolutely been a technical. Yes. He looked like Kirby Smart over there trying to call a timeout / clapping with seconds,
he's just
seconds
he's
wiping
just,
away.
He's just clapping.
That
it's
was
not,
insane,
it's not
man.
A big deal.
He, I mean,
totally legal play. Shouldn't be fined. None of that.
I
stuff.
Wish they would have called it. I would have won my Shai Gilgeous-Alexander under 34 points.
And the Rockets still would have covered the 6.5. So you would have been good.
7.5. I got it at. Which I decided, Joe, that I'm going to bet every single Rocket game this year.
Really?
Every single game. And your boys want to know. Okay. You boys want to know. I'm chasing 60 wins. I want to go 60-22 on the year. Can I do it? I'm probably going to go 41-41. If I win 45 of the 82, I'd be thrilled. But your boys want to know.
I was going to say 42-40.
Will my record be better than the last play-in team in the West?
No.
Where will I stack up compared to the Western Conference?
I think it'll be just outside.
Will I make the playoffs in the West?
I'm going to say no.
I want to know.
I'm going to say you'll be just outside.
I'm already ahead of the Rockets.
You're also ahead of the Lakers.
I was looking at their box score because I didn't stay up to watch that game. But I did look at the box score. That's a bad roster.
It's a very – same. That's exactly what I was like, wow, Luke is killing it. I was like, who are these other guys out there?
That's a terrible roster.
Yeah. All right. It was a good start to the season. Like, even though you lost, like, to go head-to-head like that, two overtime games, to not have – you know, a piece you had in Dorian Finney-Smith not available for last night's game.
They didn't have their point guard, though.
You're right, but to not have Amen Thompson, they had multiple guys foul out, so it kind of equaled out in the end. They lost both their centers, Holmgren and Hartenstein, with foul trouble in that game. I think it was a good start to the season because I also liked how short the bench was last night. Like, I think we got like a little taste of like what the Rockets are going to look like this year with only 9 guys playing in last night's game.
But there's a few guys who are in that rotation who might not be playing back-to-backs.
That's true. Because we'll see Jeff Green eventually. We'll see Jayshon Tate in those moments. I was surprised we didn't see Holiday last night.
See, I thought the writing was on the wall based on his preseason usage. Like, I was pointing that out, too. Like, their dress rehearsal, dude didn't play until garbage time in the fourth. He was one of the dudes who actually played in the final regular season game whenever they rested every rotation player, with the exception of Reed Sheppard. The writing was on the wall for me that Aaron Holiday was not going to be in the rotation. But I actually asked my Twitter following today, at Jeremy Branham, great Twitter following, best in the industry, I think. If Reed Sheppard doesn't play yesterday, and this kind of segues to our next segment, players that were awful yesterday, if Aaron Holiday plays every single one of Reed Sheppard's minutes, and Reed Sheppard plays none of Aaron Holiday's minutes because he got none, do the Rockets win that game yesterday?
Yes.
I think they win easily.
I think they do too.
Because
of one play.
I think it's more than one play.
But I think you can look at that turnover at the end from Reed Sheppard and say, I don't think Aaron Holiday makes that play.
Yeah, so players that played bad yesterday. We'll also grade these players like they grade them in soccer, at least how they grade them in FIFA. 713-780-3776. Maybe we need a man of the match, too. I think they do that in football. We'll have to ask Glenn because soccer matters. 713-780-3776. Mailbag a little bit later. CJ Stroud. They're grading and judging CJ Stroud based on his resting JB face. Can you believe it?
Shred him, Stroud!
713-780-3776. Plenty to get to. What were your thoughts on the Rockets opener yesterday? And like, we have to have the Reed Sheppard conversation because I don't want to overreact to one game. But I was channeling my inner Israel yesterday, and that's a very, very dangerous place to be. 713-780-3776, HRMP listener line, YouTube, ESPN Houston. We're on Twitter at ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. We're Jeremy and Joe on ESPN975 and ESPN925.
You can bet on those Rockets and Texans and Astros all at ESPN Bet inside of LaBerge in Lake Charles. We'll be there this weekend for all the games, the UFC fight this weekend as well, to check out their brand new VIP fan cave section that is available for bookings, their new menu items. We'll be watching all the games on Saturday and Sunday. We'll be doing shows from 12 to 2 on Saturday and Sunday from 10 to noon. You can watch all the MLB playoffs, the World Series getting started on Friday night. You can get in your season-long bets still right now for the NBA, because even then, like, the lines move just a little bit at the beginning of the season, but you can basically still get in your overs and unders for everything going on right now for the NBA season at ESPN Bet. You can also do up to 20-leg parlays, and you can earn rewards on every wager when you use your Penn Play card. It's free to sign up for. You get lots of great perks from when you're in the casino to the sports book as well. They also offer send you, like, you know, some free hotel stays as well. I got a couple of those offers sitting in my Penn Rewards account right now that I can use at LaBerge in Lake Charles. Must be 21 plus to bet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
This junkie on the text line, Jeremy and Joe starts now. Then again at 5 p.m., Jeremy and Joe starts now. It's a great point.
Also at 4 p.m.
Terrible rejoin that we have. Who writes those things?
Thanks for the time, Jeremy.
713-780-3776. I think I just got grumpy.
Why?
Because of that text.
Got grumpy?
I was in a good mood. What did I say to you?
I noticed no difference between when you're supposedly happy and when you're grumpy.
That is true.
There's no noticeable difference on the outside.
No, when I go on air, I think it's noticeable.
Joe?
I disagree.
I know. I haven't got like full grumpy Jeremy in the seat yet.
That text just made me grumpy. Now I realize everything that is going wrong currently in the first 21 minutes of our show. I have a bunch of critiques and a bunch of criticisms. How many airing of these grievances do I want to have?
Just air it.
Should I?
Just do it.
Do y'all give me permission to air them?
Whatever. Well, the jerk store called.
I mean, your name's on the show first. They're running out
of you. The Adobe Edition in there is like hiccuping. It's really annoying. Like you play it and then it like stops like 30 mm-hmm. seconds into the recording.
Yep.
That's annoying. Yeah. It's annoying to me that Jim Cutler, every hour of the, it starts now. No, it didn't. It starts at 3. Every single day it starts at 3. It annoys me we don't have a show tweet for today. It annoys me there. Where else are we at? Anything annoy you guys?
The internet doesn't work.
Reed Shepard's annoying the heck out of me yesterday. Did you see Reed Shepard bring the ball off the floor yesterday? There was at least three or four times, 713-780-3776. There was at least three or four times yesterday, where Reed Shepard was bringing the ball off the floor. Sometimes he'd get pressured before half court. Sometimes he wouldn't. If you're smart, you're pressuring him because his handle is not very good. Mm-hmm. Nearly turns it over. Reed Shepard like spins into the front court to save an 8-second violation. He like gets to the elbow and shoots a fadeaway jumper with 16 seconds left whenever Okogie's wide open there and Shingun's wide open there. You're a point guard. You're taking fadeaway elbow jumpers with 16 seconds on the shot clock without passing a ball one time on a possession. That is abysmal point guard play. That is tragic point guard play. That is not NBA point guard play. That's not great varsity high school basketball point guard play. He is not a point guard. And I don't want to lose my mind over one game out of 82. It's his second season in the NBA, but I already was kind of on this path where he doesn't look like he's a point guard to me. How many times in the preseason did I say Reed Shepard's not a point guard? Reed Shepard's not a point guard. Reed Shepard's not a point guard. He's a two. He's a catch and shoot. Maybe you come off some screens if he's having a good shooting game. He is not a point guard. And he showed, and like, I understand it's Oklahoma City. Also, why I don't want to overreact. But he showed us time and time and time and time and time again last night that he is not a point guard.
I mean, look, I think it's Reed's a problem, but one of the things I want to follow up with that is also they have a problem getting the ball across half court besides Reed. I mean, SGA, when he would get Alpi on the other end of the court, Alpi was in trouble. Like Alpi bringing up the ball is not a good solution either. They don't have a good solution getting the ball across half court, specifically against the Thunder. Like, I don't think... Not every team has an SGA that's going to cause that many problems for you. But I'm with you on Reed. He was not good last night. It was a very discouraging first game. The not passing, just taking shots, 1 for 11 in last night's game. He does not look good. He does not look capable to run the point for this team. It is a glaring weakness on this roster. And it's the only thing I will criticize Rafael Stone for, because he's still getting minutes if Fred VanVleet's on this team. Like, if Fred VanVleet's not hurt, you're still asking Reed Shepard to be part of this rotation this season, and he does not look capable.
See, my criticism's not that he's in the rotation. I don't mind him being in the rotation. My criticism is that he's a point guard. What are you guys giggling about?
The show tweet?
What, is it a funny one?
Yep.
What does it say?
It says, this is a show tweet for Jeremy and Joe. We could have said this earlier, but you know, the internet problems. Now maybe Jeremy will be less grumpy.
That does make me
a little
bit less grumpy.
We'll talk Rockets and such.
I also tip my
cap. Great job, Brian.
That is well played.
Very good tweet.
I give compliments where compliments are deserved, and I'm going to quote.
Does that help
it.
The grumpiness?
No, Reed Shepard's got me now.
Yeah, Reed Shepard deserves. He was bad. Like, and
he was cheeks.
I'm not grumpy with you now. Okay, I'm just grumpy with Reed.
Okay,
I really wasn't grumpy
with myself
you.
From the list,
and I really wasn't grumpy with you. I was airing my grievances.
Here's the thing, Jeremy. Like, I don't think it's an overreaction for one game. Like we saw
no,
last.
No,
because
we night. Saw it last year.
Yes, we
saw
it last
in the playoffs.
Year. We saw in the preseason. Like. Reed Shepard is not a point guard on this roster. Like, it's a bad draft class, his class. Like, the people thought he was going to number one overall. Like, I cannot imagine if you were the Hawks or the Thunder, or the Wizards, and would have invested in this guy to be your future centerpiece of your roster with what he's doing out there. Like, he's easy to defend. Like, there's not really challenge. At best, you need him to be like Kyle Korver or J.J. Redick and just be open. But teams are even scared of that.
We got breaking news, Joe. We got breaking news. Israel is back.
Oh, he's back.
Israel's back. clap emoji, clap emoji, clap emoji. He is trash can, trash can, trash can. You're right, Israel. You're right. Now, here's where I will defend Reed Sheppard a little bit.
Good luck.
I'm not quitting Reed Sheppard as a player in the NBA. I am not quitting Reed Sheppard as a shooting guard in the NBA. I still like some of his skill set. I think he can be a very good shooter in the NBA. I think he can slash a little bit. I think that he's got like decent hands, and I think he's like maybe end of list. But he's not a point guard. He's not a point guard. We're going to see this time. And there was three or four possessions, Joe, where he's initiating the offense and literally does not pass the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. No. I don't care how good of a shooter you are. You can't do that. And then to make matters worse, to compound this, he wasn't making shots. He's a shoot first point guard who's sitting like coming up here and like doing all this dribbling, nearly turning it over, and then he's missing shots. He is not an NBA point guard. And then how about the defensive end? What were they doing on the defensive end every single time that Reed Sheppard was on the floor in overtime?
Attack.
They were okay because like they were in the zone. They were in the zone sometimes when Reed was out there, most of the time when Reed was out there. Why? Because he didn't trust him in man. And then Shea would just go to the side that Reed Sheppard was on and school him. Every now and then, Reed was in a man-to-man, little screen action, get SGA and Reed Sheppard on a little man-to-man one-on-one. Who's winning that battle? So I don't want to flip out 1 of 82. I don't want to flip out because it's against the defending champion. I don't want to flip out because it's against the former MVP. But I'm doubling down. Reed Sheppard is not a point guard in the NBA. The only chance to salvage anything of Reed Sheppard is if you move him off the ball.
Yeah, but like you don't think it's not going to look that different on Friday. Like Oscar Thompson is going to attack him when he has the ball on the other end of the court.
Everyone's going to attack him.
Yeah, he can't. He can't defend. He can't get the ball across half court because he's not strong enough. He's not big enough.
Honestly, like part of the issue was obviously what you mentioned. Like he didn't pass the ball and threw up a terrible shot. But how many times did it look like he struggled to get the ball over half court before the 8 seconds? It felt like
three or four times,
at least. Yeah,
three or four times.
And even if you move him to the two, the defensive problem doesn't go away. They're still going to ISO him every single time and abuse him.
You're going to try to play zone when he's on the floor. Is what you're going to try to do.
I think the thing that frustrated me the most, because I expected him to be bad on defense. I expected him, you know, all that sort of stuff. But then he misses a free throw towards the end of the regulation where you wouldn't even have gone to overtime.
Yeah, he's a shooter, too. That was an annoying miss. So was Kevin Durant.
And I know, again, SGA is MVP. But, like, when he put his shoulder into Reed Sheppard, he went, like, 6 feet backwards. Like, it was brutal. I mean, he's getting bullied out there.
That was he's not a point guard. And, look, you criticized Rafael Stone about it a little bit earlier. I won't criticize Stone here. This isn't Nick Caserio with the offensive line. Like
no,
there
not
was
at all.
Your starting point guard got injured in the offseason. Like there's not many teams that are going to be able to just immediately adapt off of that. And then the Rockets also didn't have any money under one of those aprons or whatever. So it's not like Rafael Stone could have had a counter move to that. Fred VanVleet was your starting point guard that was playing at least 30 minutes a game, and then you're probably filling the rest of those point guard minutes with Amin Thompson. Like Reed Sheppard was probably your third point guard at best. He was your third point guard before the Fred VanVleet injury. Fred gets hurt, and then all of a sudden he's elevated into that second point guard spot. So I don't think it's a fair criticism of Rafael Stone. I don't think it's a fair criticism of the front office. I don't mind Reed Sheppard in the rotation. I cannot stand Reed Sheppard controlling point guard duties because he ain't a point guard.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know about even like when you make a trade at some point this season, because it felt like last night was just so evident that they're going to have to make one.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know what his role is going to be on this roster, because that person comes in and you're assuming they're trading for a point guard. Well, then they're taking all the Fred minutes. So then he becomes your third option, as you just laid out, if Fred VanVleet would have been here. Like I don't know if his shot's even good enough.
I mean, it's more based on what he could be than what he is currently.
Yeah.
Like, it's the potential for him being a good shooter is there. I agree with you that he hasn't necessarily shown it, right? You are what you are, and then you can also be what you're going to become. I do believe in his shooting potential in the NBA, but I think he's playing out of position right now. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Rocky, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up? Adrian! Rocky, hello? It's probably on our end. There you are. That was your fault.
Sorry, you broke up. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Rocky. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. Hey, so here's my
thing last night. To me, first quarter looked pretty good, but then throughout the game it became apparent that we needed a true point guard. So I have a couple of questions for you guys. One of them is the fact that Tari Easton didn't sign his deal, and from what I read today, it was offered like $100 million for a bench player, which I think is crazy. That being said, I'm not saying give up on Reed Shepherd, but if you called around and got tried to get a player and somebody says, I want Reed Shepherd and Tari Easton, you know, are you going to say no to that? And I've heard some rumors and read some things about potentially LaMelo being shopped or Trey Young. I'm just curious, what would y'all do? To me, Tari Easton can be filled in with DFS, so that's just my questions, and I'll hang up and let y'all talk about it.
All right, good question, Rocky, because Tari was another one. He was the runner-up on who looked bad yesterday. He looked abysmal. I saw the same thing about the $100 million was something that was on his on the table for him, that he was offered that, and he said no. Because I think it was, what's the day, December 15th or something like that?
Yeah, mid-December,
where the Rockets can, like, make moves, or you can trade players who were signed in the offseason. That might be the earliest date for that to happen. But would it break you your heart if, you know, you had to put something together with Tari and Reed? I don't love the names that he mentioned, but is that something that you would consider at least what's going out? 713-780-3776. Get your thoughts on the Rockets' opening night loss as well. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
All right, Israel's back, and he is on the he's on hold. 713-780-3776. He's Joe, I'm Jeremy, we're Jeremy and Joe, and we welcome in now Israel. Great to hear from you. Hope you're doing well. What's up?
Yeah, I'm blessed. Hey, man. Look, and like you said, maybe they can play him off the ball, man, and maybe he can hit a few jump shots, but he's such a liability on defense, bro. The MVP one, the only one that shook him. All the guards shook him, man. They took him to the bucket. The one dude shook him so hard and went and flushed it on Capella. Like, get out the way. Yeah. Bang. I was like, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And that's why they kept getting fouled. They kept, you know, they were fouled because they kept, you know, they have to keep helping him down low because he gets shook from the top, man. He gets shook from the top. Now, the first shot, he banged it. You know what I mean? Deep. Boom. I was like, all right, let's see what he's doing. He banked one in. And then he got, I don't know, why did he put him in the fourth quarter like he the go-to guy? He get the ball, get trapped in the pick. I was like, oh, my goodness, man. This guy, I don't know. Going into the season, I know they knew that they needed a point guard when Fred got hurt. I know that the coach is too smart to not think that the other guy, the guy, I got his name, man. The he can play, the big corner guy. He bringing up the ball. How is he bringing up the ball? I'm like, are you kidding me? KD can't bring up the ball. The other guard who got hurt, I'll put him as shooting guard. He can play.
Yeah.
They Charlotte, Adam, but they need somebody to get them in position to win, bro. They coach is too smart for that. So, hey, I had to call on this day. You know what I'm saying? I knew because, hey, for a third pick, man, tomorrow, man, he got Tori Olsen, Reed Shepherd, he the key guy to be signing autographs, not saying the owner on the news. Maybe that's why they got to pay a pay.
All right, Israel, good to hear from you again.
Yeah, I think, like, it's valid points. And, like, right now it's Israel 1, us 0.
Oh, don't put us in this. What do you mean us? I said he's not a point guard and he needs to play off the ball and he can't play defense. I nailed it one game through 82. Don't put this in us.
I don't
thing.
Know if you went far enough, though.
Don't make
I don't
us know an if you S play period.
It was brutal. Like it's there's really no redeeming quality from Reed Shepherd's game last night.
No, he's like, it was dumb basketball.
Yeah, like that to me is the concern. It's like if he was making good passes, if he was operating the offense like in a good way when they crossed half court, Like, it was just all bad basketball. And I'll go back to that turnover at the end of the game. I can't remember if it was in the fourth quarter or one of the overtimes, when he gets trapped and he just throws the ball up in the air. I think it was the first overtime. And it was, like, to Kevin Durant, but it was just kind of floated up there.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing? Like, now, where are the other guys to help him? Because he clearly was in trouble. Like, that's part of it, too, with, like, Alpi bringing it across half court and Reed bringing it across half court. The struggles they were having, like, where's the support staff in the moment there to help them get across half court? But it was just undisciplined, fundamentally poor basketball from Reed Sheppard that is the biggest concern. Like, those are things that, yes, his playing time has been limited so far in his NBA career, and yes, he's only 21 years old, but you need better than that.
Yeah, another junkie, Tari Eason, was terrible last night. He was terrible, too, and brings us back to Rocky's call before we went to break in the previous segment. Like, would you be okay trading Tari and Reed whenever you can trade Tari and Reed? Yeah, I would be okay with that. I have no issues with that. This team is desperately needing a ball handler.
And you can
it's going to. If you want to win at the level you want to win. Like, you can survive the regular season what you have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you went into the defending champ and lost by one in double overtime in a game that you could have very easily won. We're not worried about the regular season. We're not worried about this team making the playoffs as currently constructed. But their goal is to win a title. Their goal is to make a deep playoff run. And if they're going to make a deep playoff run, you need at least a guy, maybe another guy, that you trust to handle the basketball and get you into your offense. And they might have half of that player. I thought Amin was okay in there yesterday. I thought he handled it pretty good. Okay to good. Reed was abysmal. So you're going to need at least somebody else that you can trust to handle ball pressure and to get you into your offense if you really want to be a team that has playoff aspirations, deep playoff aspirations.
Yeah, I mean, last night felt like a game. You're like, okay, sign me up for 7 games of this in the Western Conference Finals. Like, that's what last night felt like, watching the first game of the season. Like, this looks like a matchup that could go be deep into the Western Conference playoffs, and you're not going to beat them in a 7-game series. You're not going to beat the Nuggets in a 7-game series in the playoffs with this current roster construction. So, no, I would, if because you couldn't get the deal done with Tari, no, if I mean, you could make that trade today if you wanted to. Now, it's obviously not going to happen, but those are not guys that you're limited within trading.
Yeah.
There are other restrictions within your roster that might make it difficult to make a move right now within the aprons and all the new rules. But, like, no, I'd have no issue trading Tari and Reed for the right player this season. And, frankly, like, if Reed's going to be this and Tari's going to be someone that you're, you know, worried about getting a poison pill contract and you're just going to lose and restrict the free agency, then it's probably best to trade those guys right now. They're still two of your better assets of things that you can move. So no, if that was the move ultimately, to move those two guys for someone that can replace Fred, no issue with it.
Yeah, you're not in as bad a spot with Reed in terms of, like, restricted free agency and poison pills, because he's still a little bit away.
But teams are going to want him still.
Yeah, I mean, I could go either way on Reed. Tari, for me, is an easy trade. Tari draft picks for a ball handler, I think, is going to happen. Like, he's in the final year of his deal. Restricted free agency, you could match. I get it. But is that something you're really going to want to do after he rejected your contract offer, which was $100 million, according, I think, to Tim Legler? I think he was the one that said that. It wasn't Legler. It was LeBron's lackey. What's his name? Windhorst. Windhorst. Yeah. She's really good at her job. So he was the one that reported that Tari had $100 million on the table, north of $100 million, and said no to that. So I think it'll be Tari and draft picks for a ball handler. But if it's like Tari and Reed for a ball handler you really want, okay. Yeah, that's I'm not going to lose any sleep over that.
Not at all.
Tari wasn't getting minutes over Okogie down the stretch yesterday because Tari played so poorly, and you have Dorian Finney-Smith coming back. I don't need Tari.
No, I think eventually, like, it becomes a roster crunch. Like, where do these guys all play? I mean, watching the game last night, I was like, who is this? Like, who is this number zero out there? I didn't realize, like, that was the number that Okogie was wearing with just being a new roster. So, yeah, Tari makes the most sense of the guy that you move on from this season because you didn't get the contract done. So, like, if it's anything else besides that, I would be not super shocked. I mean, you could be really cold-blooded if you wanted to, and you could move Fred for a big contract at some point this season. But, yeah, it's one game. Like, maybe Reed will improve, but the flaws we saw in last night's game, I'm like, eh. Like, I'm not confident we're going to see major improvement. Like, maybe sometimes when he's, you know, those turnaround jump shots he was taking at the elbow, like, they go in, so you feel a little bit better about it. But, you know, the body type and everything to be able to control an offense against an elite defender, that's not just going to improve magically.
No. And even if he goes in, it's not a good possession. Like,
yeah,
I don't want him ever doing that. Even if he's on fire, if he's on a heater and he's like Kobe, like, okay, but like we're comparing Reed to Kobe here. That's not what point guards do. Point guards don't struggle to get the ball across half court and then jack up a fadeaway elbow jumper, which is not a very good shot. Remember, like in the analytical world of basketball, the mid-range jumpers aren't great shots, and he's taking that fading away with 16 seconds left in the shot clock without a single pass on the offensive end. It's bad ball is what I saw from Reed Sheppard yesterday.
Yeah, my concern, and it's not a total reflection, but like you don't want to see Amen Thompson get in major foul trouble if he's the point guard. Like that's one thing I think to keep an eye on with this new role as things play out is obviously he didn't foul out of last night's game, but he was close, you know, before the cramps took him out of the game. But I think that's something to keep an eye on. If he is going against these point guards who are going to be attacking the basket more regularly, watching the foul trouble, because you can't afford him to get in foul trouble with your current roster situation. Like, you need a man to almost be a little less aggressive in some aspects going forward, because that just cannot happen. We saw how desperately you needed him in those overtime possessions. I mean, and part of it too is like the other part we haven't hit on yet, that it's not a long-term concern, but I don't love how little involved Kevin Durant was in the offense in the fourth quarter and in the overtimes. I think he took two shots. Not enough. Like that's not enough. Like you gotta redesign the offense there with Kevin Durant in mind, of like that's the guy who should have the ball pretty much on every possession, him and Alpi. So that was the other part of last night's game. We're like, that's got to change.
Yeah, let's hit that on the other side. Kevin Durant kind of not getting the ball. He did sit most of the fourth quarter, but came back in around the 5-6 minute mark, and then only took, two shots the rest of the way after that. There was a period where he only took one shot, and then I think he got up a couple, like, in the second overtime. 713-780-3776. We'll still hit the Tari. We'll still hit the Reed. I think that this junkie text is a good one, too. Like, does Ime not trust Aaron Holiday? And, like, the answer here might not be what you want to hear, because I don't think it's about winning today. I think it's about big picture, and I'm actually okay with that, but we'll discuss that next. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Fast breaks, buzzer beaters, block parties, they're back. I love that it's back, too. It's so much fun. NBA is here. Underdog is the best place to get in on all of this action, all basketball season long, and I think Texas is the best place to play on Underdog, by the way, but I'm a homer. Playing on Underdog is so easy. Just pick whether your favorite players. Maybe it's Durant. Maybe it's Amin. Maybe it's Alpi Shingun. Maybe it's Derrick Rose, like this guy over here. But pick whether your favorite players are go higher or lower on stats like points, rebounds, assist, maybe in some cases, turnovers. Get your picks right. You can win up to 5,000 times your cash. I was so close yesterday. I checked off all of the boxes, and then the game went into double overtime, and the MVP did MVP things. If that game ends at regulation, your boys a little richer today. But lots to get involved with on the NBA tonight. So many games. You get your full slate of games. The Bulls are playing, for instance. You could pick whether or not your favorite Bulls or Pistons are going to go higher or lower on a bunch of those stats. And look, Underdog's always taking care of you, too, with, like, these profit boosts. I'm looking at it right here in the app as well. 50% NBA profit boost today. Isn't that incredible? Like, they're taking care of you all the time at Underdog. So download that Underdog app right now, and then when you do it, sign up with promo code KILLERB, KILLERB, and you're going to score $100 in bonus funds or bonus entries when you play your first $5. What are you waiting for? That's promo code KILLERB, KILLERB, Underdog. Make picks, win money.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5. Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
They call me the Huntington Bank bad boy. That's what I've been told. 713-780-3776. Why do they call me that? Because I get an ROI, baby. I get a return on investment. That's not true, actually. 713-780-3776. So Kevin Durant, about your point that, hey, he needs to shoot the ball more. He's Kevin Durant. He's one of the all-time great scorers in the game. Well, he was asked about that, the ball not going his way. He says, team closes the game out. We make plays as a team, you know. I'm not expected to make every big shot in every close game. I just feel like my presence out there can ease the attention from everybody, and we can make plays. So some nights, it's not going to be my night in the fourth. Some nights, it's going to be Alpi. Some nights, it's going to be Bari. Sometimes, it's going to be Twin. So, you know, we all just got to be prepared for it.
He's right.
Okay.
But I still like him to take a couple more shots. It's not always going to be his night. And he is a threat just being out there.
Yeah.
But you got to actively try to get him involved in the offense, because that's where I disagree with Kevin Durant, is he wasn't really like, it wasn't like he was touching the ball, getting double teamed and passing it off to Alpi for the open shot. He just wasn't getting the ball. He just was a non-factor in the offense. And again, his presence is valuable.
Yeah.
But just standing out there on the three-point line isn't as valuable as cutting and things like that. So I would just like to see a little more intended involvement from Ime Udoka's offense to get Kevin Durant the ball, to make him touch it, to make the defense make a decision in this game about what you're going to do with Kevin Durant.
See, I don't mind that the ball's going away from Kevin Durant if he's being guarded by the other team's best player and it's like, hey, we're getting good shots elsewhere. Like, okay, like that's great. Like, if you're Jordan passing it to Steve Kerr for wide open three after wide open three for wide open three, gotcha. Like, I understand. I get that. The problem that I have is that Durant wasn't touching the ball, coupled with the fact that you were taking terrible shots.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was Reed Shepard taking a terrible shot, whether it was Amin Thompson missing one of his 7 3-point attempts. He was 0-for-7 from three. Terrible shot. Whether it's Jabari Smith rushing up a shot. That was my thing. Like, I don't mind if you're going away from Kevin Durant if other guys are getting good shots and it is working. But whenever you're jacking up corner threes with bad shooters, and it's not, I don't want to see that.
No.
It's the coupling together.
Yes. So what you can have one, but you can't have the other. Like, it does not work that way. So that's, look, that's game one. That's where, like, it's not like the Reed conversation. The Reed conversation, there are real long-term concerns. The Kevin Durant part of last night's game with his involvement in the offense, that's a lesson learned. That one I expect significantly to improve throughout the season. I'm not worried about that one. Just with last night's game, wasn't great.
See, the pushback that I had on Jabari earlier is I think he tries to be more than who he is, quite frankly.
I don't disagree with that.
Like, I don't need Jabari trying to beat guys off the dribble. That's not your game. I don't need Jabari rushing up a three that's contested. Like, Jabari, to me, can be an excellent, unique role player. Like, I think he's capable of being a 40% three-point shooter and get you 10 rebounds a game, which is very unique. But you have to accept that's who you are, and I don't think Jabari at this stage of his career is accepting that's who he is. Like, he wants to be Kevin Durant, beat guys off the dribble. It's not you, man. You need to be a catch-and-shoot guy. If you got a mismatch down low, rise and fire, you need to go give me 10 rebounds a game. Like, that would be my challenge to Jabari. Jabari, stop dribbling, stop taking bad shots, shoot 40% from three and give me 10 rebounds a game and be the most unique role player in the NBA. I think he's capable of doing that, but he hasn't accepted that's who he is yet.
Yep.
And I think that that needs to happen before we see, like, the best of Jabari.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen the best of him yet. I don't think it's even close, honestly. Mm-hmm. But, like, I still like the turnaround that we saw. Like, the shot is just, it's so smooth. To where it's like, I think I'm taking the glass half full approach with Jabari, and you're more on the glass half empty.
No, I'm not. I'm not glass half empty on Jabari. I'm glass half know your role and shut your mouth.
That's fair.
Like, he needs to know who he is. Yeah. He's not going to be one of the Rockets' best offensive players. But if he can accept the role of I'm going to knock down every wide open three. If I have a bad matchup in the low post, I'm going to expose that and take advantage of the mismatch. I'm going to go get you 10 rebounds a game. Like, look at this. Kevin Durant out-rebounded Jabari yesterday. That should not happen.
No, I don't like that. That's not good.
So, like, that's what my frustration with Jabari, and look, it's 1 of 82, so, like, let's pump the brakes here, Branham. But it dates back to last season, though. Like, I want him to be a 10-rebound-a-game guy and shoot 40% from three. I don't want him to dribble. I don't want him to rush shots. I don't want him to think that he's Kevin Durant. I want him to be the best, most unique role player that we can see in the NBA.
Well, that's the only thing last night, too, with this big lineup. And while the Thunder, compared to pretty much every other team in the NBA, have some size as well with Chet and Hartenstein out there, I do want to see the Rockets, you know, they did a good job in the overall rebound category is 52-38, but I still felt like there was more to get last night. Mm-hmm. Like the numbers bear out that they did a good job on the boards last night, but I would have liked to still feel a little more dominant in that category. Yeah. How'd you feel like them taking 39 threes?
I don't mind.
Yeah.
I don't mind them taking 39 threes.
No, there was also two overtimes, so like it inflates it a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Good point. Now, what my criticism would be, who's taking the threes?
Yeah.
I don't care if you take a high number of threes if good three-point shooters are taking them. This is what drove me crazy about Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey was like, we're going to take free throw shots in the paint and a bunch of threes. And then what did he do? He signed a bunch of terrible three-point shooters. Yep. Like, if that is your mantra, then build a team based on that mantra. In like today's modern NBA, like you're going to see a lot of threes. So I don't care about a high number of threes. I care about who's shooting the threes.
You don't want to see Amen Thompson go 0-7.
I don't want to see Amen Thompson go 0-7. I don't want to see Reed Shepard jack up 7 threes. Now, I think he's a good shooter, but he's not a good shooter creating on his own. He's a catch and shoot guy.
Same thing with Jabari.
Same thing with Jabari. I don't need him shooting it off the dribble. Same thing with Tari Eason.
And the other part from last night's game that this is going to go back to the Fred VanVleet injury is the amount of turnovers they had. 25 turnovers, 28 points conceded off those turnovers. That's a number from last night's game that also is concerning until you can make an acquisition at the deadline. Because we saw last year when Fred was hurt.
What were your numbers?
25 turnovers.
And then how many did you concede?
28 points.
Can't win that way.
Yeah, you can't. Like, you have to. And we saw that. That was a problem last year. That when Fred was out of games or when he was hurt, that they don't have. And that's where I kind of go back to my pushback with Rafael. Just in this one little thing is, when Fred was out, I felt like there was a clear issue with your ball handling and having too many turnovers last year when Fred was hurt or out of games. So I feel like you could have addressed that better in the offseason. Not a splash move, but maybe instead of, you know,
completely disagree with
Capella,
you
could have got a different point guard.
You didn't need a point guard.
I think you did, because these problems we saw with the turnovers and stuff were an issue last year. That as soon as Fred wasn't in the game, you turned the ball over a ton.
You weren't good with Amen Thompson being your backup point guard coming into the year.
I mean, I'm fine with it, but like, still it was a problem. Like, you need someone that can control the game better. The Rockets' offense was always better last year when Fred was on the court.
I don't have an issue with Amen being your backup point guard. Like, not at all. Not at all. Now, the Capella thing, because Capella wasn't that great yesterday. He played 8 minutes and like looked kind of old. So like, what you said there that I think is a really good point where you might have won me over is like repurpose the Clint Capella money. Like, okay, yeah, that seems pretty good today.
But they want to go the double big, and like that's why Capella's here, because like even though...
But do they? Because like they went...
You're right, he played 8 minutes.
Joe, not only did they go double big yesterday, they went jumbo. Yeah. They went Steven Adams. They went Alpi Shingun. They went Jabari Smith at the three.
Yeah, they're huge.
And you played all of your bigs, so you would think, hey, who's the big coming off the bench to spell everybody? It's Clint Capella. He played 8 minutes.
Yeah.
So like, do they want to go double big?
Yeah, because like, are those Dorian Finney-Smith minutes when he comes back? And Capella's like not even part of the rotation. It depends on matchup.
It'll
obviously
be matchup, but I think DFS's minutes are Okogie's minutes. I think Okogie goes away. I think Okogie goes to the bench.
I didn't hate Okogie last night.
He's better than Eason.
Yeah,
he's better than Eason. I mean, Eason's the trade. I think Eason's the guy that's going to be on the block. All right, 713-780-3776. We haven't gotten the junkies much. Let's get to the junkies. The junkies want to talk about last night's game. Thoughts on the Rockets after 1 of 82. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.